Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I thought offensively we did a lot of good things, positive things, but we couldn't get stops. On the other end, they made some big shots when they had to. Again, you know, I thought they played really well. I think their last three games is the team they are. They got rid of a guy that wouldn't pass the ball to anybody and just shot it every time, and that's why they're good now. They got a really good point guard, and he's getting people the ball, and McClung's settled into his position where he gets his shots and makes them. He's going to make his shots if he gets them. They got good inside guys. They got good shooters. I think they got a really good team. I think by far this is the best team we've seen from Georgetown that I've seen in the last few years. Joe is close. He's getting more comfortable out there. He just needs a little time. They're freshman, sophomore. They got a lot to learn, but I think they're getting better. I think we're getting better, but we've got to get some more out inside. Marek's really playing good right now, but we've got to get some more out of Barama inside. Really on both ends. They're leaving him, and he's got to be able to take advantage of that. We had 14 threes, so I mean, you know, threes weren't the difference. We just couldn't stop them. The big kid's tough inside. You know, you don't isolate it that way, but our center scored 2 points, and their center scored 19. So, you know, we got to get something out of that position. I think at last year we went into the conference season with 5 losses, Mike. I don't remember. Was it 5? I think it was. I think so. Something like that. And the teams we lost to this year are a lot better than the teams we lost to last year. So we're not in a great position, but we're not in as bad a position as everybody thinks we're in. We did try to overcome a few calls. If you remember the first half, there was more than one. We had 3 blocks called, and my guy's blocking weighs 172 pounds. So I don't know how he's blocking anybody, but.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it to the universal handle for the socials. It is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the first Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. Listen, the Orange lose to the much-hated Hoyas 89-79 at the Capital One Arena in D.C., and they will play, looking for a bounce-back game. Well, you might have one against the Oakland Golden Grizzlies this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. We will let you know what we think about that. Look. Rate, review, and subscribe to whatever platform you listen on. And if you rate and review on iTunes, who knows? Maybe, poof, something will land in your mailbox someday. It's possible. I'm just saying. You can try that out. We appreciate it to everybody who has already done so. Joe's late with popping the top. That's fine. Okay. Off cue. I forgot to turn my mic on at the beginning. I really wish that people at post-game press conferences who set up microphones could stop feedback and whatnot going on. It's really annoying listening to a, these press conferences are probably set up by, you know, people who are technically savvy at the very least.
Right.
You'd think they'd have it to where there wasn't a ton of feedback coming through the mic or some kind of control on the volume of things. It's like every, no matter where it comes from or who's doing the press conference, it's always hard to listen to. So anyways, look, we are going to get started and let's just do it because we don't have any time to waste.
Nope.
Pack show. Look, if you want to increase your performance, get that extra confidence in bed, listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know it works. You can take them anytime, day or night, as if it matters what time of day. On a full or empty stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. If you could benefit from extra function and more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and it ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code ARMCHAIR. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Use the promo code ARMCHAIR and try it for free. Just pay the $5 shipping. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for their sponsorship. And also, they do not promise any guaranteed results, and nowhere do they claim that they cure disease, which would be absurd for you to think to begin with. So,
yep.
Anyway, I can't say it enough. Hey, it's on there. I got to say it. I don't want to tell you. All right. So, look. The Orange fall to 5-5. We're at 500 again. 1-1 in the ACC. And the one thing, they went down and they looked fabulous as they lost, by the way, in the scripted jerseys. It's my favorite. I think it's the overwhelming fan favorite, the scripted jersey. They held their own through much of the first half. Dolezal, he played great on both sides of the ball. He got hosed by some calls. It seemed like every bad call, Dolezal was on one side of it. There was one in particular after a huge three was drained. It was waved off by a questionable legal screen by Dolezal. That resulted after that a 12-2 run by Georgetown to finish up the half. Buddy Boeheim with 0 points in the first finished with 25 point score in the second half. Just phenomenal. Imagine if he would have got it going a little bit earlier. He ended up actually as the Syracuse's leading scorer in the game. Hughes followed him up with 21. He had 18 in the first half and just kind of dried up after that. So him and Buddy switched roles, I guess, which is unfortunate because if you get both one of them going in both halves, you might have something. Gerard, he finished with 16. Hughes shot better than I thought, actually, when I looked at the box score. As a team, they shot 48.4% from the field. They hit 14-32 from distance. The bad, though, losing on the battle of the boards, 41-29. And the dagger, in my opinion, they shot only 9 free throws, hitting only 5. And Georgetown, on their free throws, went 24-31. I contend that that was the biggest disparity in the game. Now, you can make an argument, but that's mine. It's a three-headed monster in a way, Joe. If you look at Georgetown, did the things they needed to do to get to the line. No question, Syracuse could have done better on the inside when they were on offense to get to the line. The officiating, not great. So those are the three things that contributed to all of that. Was it the only problem? No. I mean, we mentioned negative 12 on the boards, I think, resulting in 16.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Second chance points for Georgetown and 4 for Syracuse. So right there, negative 12 on second chance points as well. So, you know, Joe,
it's tough.
It's tough. And it's not any one thing. And I'm just looking around social media and I'm like, if it wasn't for doing this show, I would get off Q social media. I really would, which means I'd be off social media because it's the only reason I'm still on, it's the only reason I go on,
right?
Pretty much. And it's like, you know, one guy says something. And I'm not talking about my case. I'm just talking about things I read through threads and things like that. One guy will say something, and another guy will be like, "No, that's not why. This is why." And I'm reading all of these, and there's three guys with three different opinions, and they're all arguing. And I'm like, you guys, I just want to be like, take a step back. All three of those things contributed to this loss. You can't point to one thing. You could point to something you think might be the biggest issue or the dagger.
Everyone wants to be right, right?
At the end of the day,
there's most of the time it's a bunch of little things of why these things happen, not just one main thing. You know, there's just a whole bunch of people that go back to what, losing Bernie Fine, right? And our big men haven't been good since then, or we haven't been able to make or, you know, coach up good big men since then. And then once Hopkins left, and then recruiting, you know, and then some people blame it on the 2-3 zone, or they blame Boeheim because they haven't recruited, or we should play man, and I don't know, we should play this person. There's really not one. It's probably all of those things, or, you know, a couple of few. But at the end of the day, we just have problems down low with good big men. It's just our problem. Like, we have a problem with being able to score and being able to get rebounds around the rim with pretty much athletes that are higher, taller than 6'6". I mean, we usually always have those guys, whether it's decent centers or whether the wing guys, you know, the Chris Josephs, the Jeremy Grants, the CJ Fairs, we've always had those guys, Chris, that can, you know, that can wreak havoc. Wes Johnson, you just always wreak havoc around the wing. There's those athletic forward, those taller forwards. So we just don't have that. And I think that there's a lot of people that thought Gary Ayer was going to be that. And
I think he will.
Eventually he will. Again, we do have to grow. But when you look at the numbers of this game and you look at the way that it went, obviously everyone's just going to look at, I mean, the fouls, really, when it comes down to it. All of the numbers are pretty much right there. I mean, it was a pretty clean game. There wasn't a lot of turnovers. There wasn't a lot of blocks or steals or anything crazy like that. The only real crazy discrepancy when you look at it is the fouls and the free throws. And we lost by 10 and got outscored by 19 free throws. So that's really what it comes down to. Now, whether or not, like you said, I mean, whether or not they're legit calls or not, or if it was home cooking or what was going on, I don't know.
I think there's a little bit of everything. Like I said, three-headed monster. Georgetown did do the things they needed to do down low to get the calls. They did. There were some horrendous calls, though. The one where McClung lowered his shoulder into Dolezal and put it right into the bottom of his chest.
Yeah.
I mean, you're calling a block on that. That's just blatant, dude. That's blatant. The call was so bad. I don't know what happened. No one has even reported on what happened for the technical on Coach. I heard it was Coach. I don't even know. That's what the broadcaster said.
Yeah, they don't even know. Coach said something about, like, John Boljak stood up or something, like, on the bench, but they don't really know.
They should clarify. If there's a technical being called, that needs to be clarified.
Yeah.
Like, to people watching, and the coach should know when he goes to his press conference exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Well, it's very frustrating, especially when you see certain calls made with certain people. But then, you know, when Dolezal was taking it to the rim early in the game and he made a couple shots around there, there's a couple and ones. I mean, Elijah Hughes clearly got fouled. I mean, granted, he made the three, but he got fouled. So, I mean, you get a couple extra fouls on McClung instead of the other way around. And then who knows what happens? You know, McClung, they sparked that run to, I mean, we were down 4, and all of a sudden it got to like 7 or 8 because of that little, you know, technical foul, everything. And it was all just because of, probably it should have been a charge on him. So it should have went the other way, but instead it was like a three or four point swing. Again, we did come back and we tied it, took the lead or whatever after that. But still, it just came to the fact of it just seemed like we couldn't really get in a good – like we couldn't get a whole bunch of possessions in a row where we were getting buckets because it just seemed like we were
– Their scoring drought from the field was really nullified by free throws.
Right, and they were making a big deal about it. Yeah, it looked like we were playing great D, but they were calling fouls all over the place, and they were going to the line. I mean, they were 1-1 really, really early. And realistically, it could have been worse because it looked like we were starting to get the little makeup ticky-tack calls at the end.
Yeah, when
it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and with all of that said, they still – had 9 more fouls than us. So
what do you make of the other block charge or no, the moving screen on Dolezal after Hughes hit that three?
I mean,
ticky tack, man. I mean, you could say he moved, but you see that all the time. Show me one guy that does not move his body a little bit or something or hip or whatever.
Yeah, you got to be choosy with your calls, because if you're going to call them that tight, you got to call them that tight all game.
Right,
it's going to be a boring game, bunch of free throws.
Yep.
But you also have to control the game and make it to where guys aren't out there killing each other because they're not calling anything, you know? So that's when stuff gets out of control. But I just didn't see that there was a lot of our fouls that just didn't look that egregious. I mean, I thought, again, Gungirier came in. I thought his screen, that was a foul. The one they called on Yurtsevin later on, yeah, that was a foul. But, I mean, the one on Dolezal was very, you know, if you're calling that, then you got to call a lot of things that they didn't call.
Yeah, and that's my point.
Georgetown was being physical down low, and Guerrier comes in, and he came in and got physical, pretty much is doing the same thing the other guys are doing, and he got called. So I thought there was another one, Sidibe. He went straight up. Even though he jumped, he went straight up, which he rarely does. I mean, I'll be honest, when he doesn't, and he did. And, I mean, there was just a lot of things that just should not have been called that were. So,
yeah. And
again, I don't want to blame the refs, but that's just like you said. Even when you go on a defensive stint that we did, where we held them to scoreless, no free field goals, and what was it, like 5, 6, 7 minutes or something? But yeah, they were still hitting free throws. They were still going to the line, so it wasn't like they weren't scoring. So it's frustrating, and it just seemed like every time we got within 7, 8 points, they hit a big three, and I don't know, it just wasn't in the cards yesterday.
No, it wasn't. And you could just see the way the trend was going with us getting it within like 5, I think down to maybe 4 even at one time, and then it'd be boom, back up to 7. You know, big play, like you said, hitting a 3. And it was funny, my brother-in-law and you texted me almost like it was 30 seconds apart. Where you both texted me almost, I screenshotted it to you, almost texted me verbatim. Every time we get it down to single digits, they hit a 3. And it is, I mean, every time. So,
and some of those threes were kind of, I mean, they shot good for, again, I mean, they shot good against SMU too in the game that they won. So with the 7 deep, they have a strong 7 deep, and you can tell that they definitely play clean. And honestly, considering, the senior leadership and some of the guys that they got that have been around and played the zone and stuff, I thought that our guys handled themselves pretty well as far as being able to stay in that game and at least be in striking distance. We didn't get help with the Zebras, but we were still there, still trying to fight back. It sucked that you saw Elijah Hughes put so much into that first half, then he kind of disappeared, but Buddy came in and then he picked up the slack. So I think we had
25-point half. That's freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, If they want to split it like that, then that's fine. But we still need help from others. So,
yeah,
that's just where I'm at with that.
And it was a poorly officiated game. And like I said, we just didn't get to the line enough. I don't think any game, if you're calling it fair, has that big of a gap between free throw attempts. I'm not even talking about makes. It doesn't even matter. Attempts. Right. I think there's an issue there. I highly doubt that any game would get like that with if you call it in the same on both sides of the ball. Now,
well, you know what though, at the same time, just to kind of play, you know, your devil's advocate or whatever, that is what happens when you do make jump shots. I mean, we can look at some of the calls that got called on us and said, yeah, that's kind of whatever. But when you're not taking it to the hole and trying to create that contact, then you're not going to really get the fouls. So
and that was my point. And a lot of Syracuse, times, yeah, they just didn't drive the lane. But there was the three jump shots, or they weren't even, some of them were putbacks. That Dolezal was like 3 for 3 to start. At least two of those could have been in ones.
Yes, when he was doing that, yes, 100%. But other than that, I mean, you had the couple times that Girard and Buddy would drive, and I think they both got called for push-offs. And,
yes, they each got one, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, we just weren't going to the hole trying to get fouled. So, again, that's something that I would like to see.
Girard has this problem where he dribbles into the middle and then dribbles back out. Like, he's just got to go. Sometimes he just has to commit.
Well, yeah, he's got to commit, but he's got to commit. Sometimes you got to go in committing knowing that, hey, you know, maybe this guy's got the upper hand, this and that, but I can play smart and I can drive, get down there. I know that my strength is free throws, and if I can get this guy to foul me and get him in foul trouble, then he's going to have to back off. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's kind of got to be, I think he's got to look at it more mental, obviously. He's not going to be able to physically just go past these people like high school. He's going to have to beat them with their mind and then be able to make those shots and be able to get the spots where he wants to be able to get to. And that's, again, that just comes with experience. But with the way that he shoots free throws, that's what he should be looking to do all the time.
But
again, there is going to be a foul disparity when you are a mainly, you know, jump shooting team. And then, you know, you don't got a lot of second chance opportunities off of offensive rebounds and fast breaks or anything like that. So unless we're getting fouled on a shot, on a jump shot, you know,
there
is a reason for disparity. But the 31-9 on the free throws is tough to see.
Yeah, it totally fair. And I get all those points. Now, to avoid being called hacks and blaming the refs or the free throws or this or that or the other, Mosley was left open constantly. I thought he had more than 4 threes in the game, but he was in the corner just camping out.
No, every single one that he hit was the one to push it from 8 to 11 or 9.
And they were all in the corner.
He was the guy that was hitting the timely ones.
Yeah, 4 of 6 from 3. He ended up with 16 points, and he's a dagger, man, and they just refused to. A lot of those were really pretty open. I know some of them were almost contested, you know, maybe a hand flying, but they were really reaching to get there. He was left with that shot quite a bit, and you had three orange men on the ball inside the paint sometimes where they were just, you know, obviously there's going to be people open. So there's that.
Right.
The press is awful. Joe, you've made this point before. They scored at least 6 points off of easy buckets on a press, and I don't know what the alternative is to that other than just working on it and getting it better, but it's just not good. It's like last year's press brought us back in games, man. We won games last year with the press, because of the press. It'd be credited to the press. This year, it is just not good. It's not good.
Nope.
So, to be fair,
it's just not working.
It's not working. So anyway, anything else to cap? And by the way, no one hates Georgetown more than me. I mean, you might tie me, but I freaking hate Georgetown.
Yeah,
I hate Georgetown. It sucked. I was so pissed. I was so pissed yesterday. It ruined my afternoon. It was freaking awful, and it was.
No.
I know, it's Joe. You see,
know,
Joe, hold on. Joe and I look at games totally different, and that's what makes some of this good, because I'm way more emotional than Joe about games, because I'm more of like the emotional fan, and Joe's more of a thinking fan, and I have no problem saying that. That's why the show works, because the roles we play on the show, but. I'm sorry, man. I get upset, dude. I get emotional. I get freaking pissed. I was so pissed. And I've gotten better as I've gotten older. But, I mean, look, it sucks losing to Georgetown. And seeing Patrick Ewing all smiles, oh, my gosh. There's nothing worse than that. There really isn't, you know? And him hyping the crowd up at the end, oh, my gosh. I was so pissed. Anyway.
Yeah, well, like, again, we look at it differently, but that team's not bad, and that team's...
No, I told you they were good. I knew this was not going to be an easy game.
The way that Boeheim talked about it and stuff was more or less that they kind of got rid of some bad apples, and especially it seems like Akinjo.
You buy
Akinjo
that? Or whatever. Akinjo?
They lost two games, and then came back and they've won three straight against pretty good teams without those guys.
Coach said he lost those two games for him because he's a selfish player.
Yeah, and again,
he's a savage, by the way.
What's that?
That's a savage move during a press conference by Coach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, does it surprise you?
Not at all. That's why I love him. Yeah.
No, yeah. And again, I mean, you saw the point guard there. He's the transfer from Central Florida. His name is escaping me, but he was taking care of the ball very, very well. And now, you know, it's coming to
Allen.
It's going to be his team. And then you see, again, when you talk about Jagan Mosley. I just looked at his stats for the season. He's 11-18 from the 3-point line.
That's crazy, and he hit four.
So it's not like he's hucking them up. The last two games, he's basically, I think he's 6-for-8. So again, this is another guy that didn't really have a huge role. Now it's time for him to step up, and now it's his role. So this team is probably only going to get better. They play very unselfish, and they're a senior laden team, so hopefully the depth won't kill them. That team, hopefully, as much as I'd say, you know, people don't want to cheer for Georgetown, and I know you said you ruined your day, hate Georgetown, but
my afternoon.
Look like a bad loss, so we need them to be able to be in somewhat kind of bubble type team.
Right. Now, we mentioned Allen. Allen was the one that was attempted to be tripped by Jalen Carey. We got to touch on this real quick, super quick. A bad look for Jalen Carey. I didn't think it was that egregious, but I think the officials, to give them credit, did the right thing by just getting Carey off the bench so that there would be no escalation there. Now, if I would have known the first time what was going on and what to look for, I maybe would have rewound it. Buddy had said that, you know, he felt that he got that Allen tried to trip him first, and he actually landed in the Syracuse bench. Mm. And then when he was getting up to walk back, and Buddy hit that three, he was trying to contest Buddy's three, and he got up after that three was made and started to walk back on the court, and you could see Jalen Carey's foot come out. Now, look, I don't really care. I think it's a bad look, obviously. I think it's really bad, but, you know, whatever. Sometimes you do things like that and you're like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. But it's just right there. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's just too hard to contain yourself. It's bad. I am no way condoning it. I'm not. I'm just saying, I've seen like things like, oh, he needs to get kicked off the team and this and that. He's not playing. Whatever. The NCAA
which makes it even worse. Like, he's supposed to be on the bench as more of like a leader type, help the team. And if you're hurting the team and you got to worry about stuff like that, then again, I mean, that's hard to defend.
I'm not defending it. I'm just saying I don't care. That's not defending it. That's just telling you whatever.
Because realistically, I feel like we probably could have got a technical on that.
They probably could have got
points and stuff. I mean, I was surprised that he just got thrown out and then that was it.
We probably could have. It's nothing as egregious as what I've seen Grayson Allen do. And he hasn't, you know, sometimes he doesn't. He gets. How many times has he been ejected?
Yeah,
on the court activity. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. It's not a good look. I don't care. I wouldn't have done it. Maybe I would have. I don't know. I'm not condoning it. I wish it wouldn't have happened. But, whatever. That's where I stand.
I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him on the bench here for a little while. But
I wouldn't be surprised either. I'm just saying it doesn't matter.
Obviously, it doesn't matter what's on the court, but if he's going to chance giving the other team points, or bring in a negative.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely chanced. Well, he obviously the look, and he could have sent someone to the free throw line, not even playing in the game. So
I mean, it's just not a good look, period. I mean, that could end up on SportsCenter.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. It's not good. So anyway.
No, yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this. We are going to do some fan feedback, but before we do that, I want to tell you folks about MyBookie, longtime sponsor of this show, okay? Past, present, and future MyBookie players, this is for you. If you have bet with MyBookie in the past or any other sports book, you know what to expect. Go to MyBookie. I got a promo code for you to use. And for all of those who have not tried online betting before, go ahead, research it. Make sure it's right for you. It doesn't matter, though, whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer. MyBookie welcomes all that come to play. So quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the process. And the best part is, if you join now, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of the incredible sign-up offer. This incredible sign-up offer has been going on much too long. Do not expect it to last much longer. Just log on to mybookie.ag and make your first deposit with the promo code CHAIR. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart that bankroll. Let me repeat. Join today at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code CHAIR and they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Thank you, MyBookie. So, we're gonna do some of these some of this fan feedback stuff, but some of it was a little repetitive, so I just chose things that were kind of. You were all acting like me, all emotional.
Like unique? Do we have some unique ones out there?
We got a couple.
Whining about the refs.
Yeah, well, we got
about
a couple.
Our coaches can't recruit big men.
Well, there's a little bit of that, I think. We'll see. It's tough. I get no help with this, folks. It is all me. Joe, he just shows up. This guy shows up. And he doesn't even show up on time, this guy. This guy is late to everything. This guy's late to everything.
Look, if I knew what the fan feedbacks were, then it would take away from it.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, y'all know how this works. Go to our socials at Cuse Militia, Facebook, and Twitter. At the end of every game, I ask for your thoughts. That prompts you to leave them in the comment section. Do so, and you can get on the show. Not that it's a big deal, but we appreciate it, right? Right. So
yeah, I do. Yes.
Oh man, I covered up this guy's handle, and that's I shouldn't do that. All right. Look at Nick Goodman 18. Team's genuinely just not good. No inside presence defensively or offensively. Relies on threes. Zero defensive effort in the zone. I feel like, honestly, our offensive performance was really good. I thought it was really good. I mean, you look at the box score, and you got 48.4% from the field, and 43, if we get that from three, 43.8 from three, if we get that every game, I mean, you're winning games with that.
Yeah.
So, defensively, got a lot of guys open. I mean, and obviously, he can't rely on threes. There was a point in the game, though, Joe, where I'm like, oh my gosh, stop shooting threes. You need to do something else. Like you're wasting offensive possessions. It's killing me, you know?
Yeah. Right. Well, again, that's where you come from, that kind of stuff. Georgetown, they were passing the ball around. They were taking threes, but in between there, they were taking the ball to the hoop and trying to get to the free throw line, and they were getting offensive rebounds and getting putbacks or getting fouled and go to the free throw line. So that's just the part of the game that we just lack right now. Again, Doljai in the first half, he made some plays when he got the ball there. But we definitely left a lot out there as far as things we could have done. But again, as far as the talent-wise in that position right now, we're just kind of lacking. And obviously, there's still a little bit of continuity issues too. So we're still learning, still getting better. And we shot really, really well. But obviously, like we talked about, that was that was the difference. So, and you have Georgetown, you have a full team of just older players that have played against the zone that you could tell was very patient. They didn't make a lot of dumb passes. They didn't really try to force too much. You have, again, Patrick Ewing, who's played against it, coached against it, the kids that have played against it. Yurtsevin's played against it at NC State and now Georgetown. They got Louis Orr on the bench. So,
There's your asset right
there,
right?
They got a bunch of guys that, I mean, it's not the 2-3 zone in what Boeheim likes to do, especially a young one that doesn't necessarily, not one of the best 2-3 zone as far as in movements and defensive wise that we've had. Didn't look like it really gave him problems. They just had to make the shots.
Just to piggyback on that, at one, Kev Nash hitting 14 threes should equal a win. I guess not. Kev Nash, by the way, straight out of Cleveland. All right, look, at SU, Vidala, whatever. Georgetown made huge percentage from three. If only Buddy Eli had two amazing halves. Mark got screwed on two fouls and game-changing situations. Louis Orr is still the coolest. It's going to take time. I see what coach is talking about. Parts might not be there, not cohesive yet for 40 minutes. Go SU. So a little bit of positivity there. I don't know if I give Louis Orr all the props now that he's in the the Hoya uniform. But I will say, if Eli and Buddy do both have decent halves, you're looking at a totally different game. I don't know why I'm feedbacking into myself, but I am. So anyway, do you agree, Joe?
Do they,
you know, Buddy scored 25 points. You know, he's not going to score much more than that in a game.
It's hard to do two halves in a row, right? But as long as you have somebody that can do that in both halves, then I think you're fine. Again, we talked, it's just all the other little things. It's the down low scoring and everything. And again, I think that there's a lot of people, including Jim Boeheim, that thought that Gary Ayer was going to come in and he might have been more far along than this, and he would have been able to pull off some Brissett freshman year stuff with, getting double doubles and getting us that guy down low to help with Sidibe and with Dolzai. And I don't think that he's given up on that, but I think there's certain things in his head that he thought was going to, where this team was going to have its best chance to be like the best. And I think part of that was Carey, part of that was Godine. And now that it hasn't worked out, you see him go to Howard Washington. And I think it's more like, okay, now Howard's going to come in. And if Gary Ayer can't get it at some point here, then he's going to have to mess with some of the lineup, and maybe Howard Washington will play a little bit more, and he'll be in there with Joe Girard like he was last night, and Joe Girard will play off the ball a little bit more. He's going to have to tinker with that lineup if Gary Ayer can't come in and be that contributor that I think everyone is looking for.
Yeah, off the bench, I mean, you're looking at Jesse Edwards had the most minutes off the bench with 11. You're looking at a potential issue here. Now, there's a catch-22 with the Gary Ayer thing. You know, he's out there making these stupid mistakes. This next stretch of three games at home versus these non-conference opponents to finish up that non-conference play, I would get him out there as much as possible.
That's got to be it. As you have three games, because once it gets to the – he's not going to be wanting to – he's going to want to know the guys that he can trust and the rotations that work going into ACC play. And if he's still waiting for people to develop and try to figure it out at this point, I mean, I don't see it working if you can't get it ready right in these three games. Three games to be able to go out there, get extra playing time, get your confidence up, and figure it out, because ACC plays right around the corner.
At the Richard Walsh on Twitter, 31-9 free throw disparity killed us. The top of the zone is slow and unathletic. They penetrated at will with mid-range jump shots. Joe Girard and Buddy can't get their own shot. Slow-footed, just not athletic. I think part of Girard's issue, obviously, is just trying to come into his own. I feel like he's doing better. I really do. If you remember a few games ago when we stopped, we had a couple easy games at the Dome and he killed it. And then he really fizzled out and he wasn't doing much. He was facilitating a little bit and doing some things on offense, but he wasn't scoring a lot. So until he gets his footing as far as is his confidence in his shot and things like that. I mean, he did really good yesterday, I felt like. Under pressure, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, so.
Again, I thought we played well. I just think that we can't be. I mean, it's hard to say we can't be taking jump shots like that. And then I think it just comes down to, like, again, the little things. If we're going to have that disparity with the free throw line and with the rebounds, and we're not going to have those second chance opportunities. I mean, what did we get out rebounded 14-2 on the offensive rebounds yesterday? We don't get second chance points. It's disheartening to see whether it's just a quick shot or whether we try to move and get somebody a shot. It's like, you know, that our offensive possession is most likely just going to be a jump shot that turns into, it's either going to be a make or an opponent rebound.
Yeah. And that's what sucks about when they go down there and they don't set up and they just take something quick. You know, it's beautiful when it hits, but when you're just wasting a shot, when you miss, it looks like you're wasting a shot. And so it's either good or bad.
But you have to look at it as it's a jump shooting team. And sometimes the best way to get open is to be able to get down the court fast before the defense can set up and get that shot. So although it might be the beginning of the shot clock, that's a good shot for a jump shooting team. And then on top of that, it kind of helps with giving you more possessions because realistically, the way that sometimes, you know, the teams that play defense against us, if you can get an open shot on a fast break coming down and get a quick shot and you're open because they're not set. Sometimes, I mean, you can go the whole next 35 seconds or 30 seconds on the shot clock, and that might have been your best look was 30 seconds ago, and you just didn't take it because there was 30 seconds left on the clock. So yeah, as a shooter in a jump shooting team, like, you can't think like that.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a bad shot with someone in your face and a shot you could have got at any point in the shot clock, then that's a different story.
It just is frustrating not being able to get offensive rebounds. It's just like getting so old.
Well, yeah. That's basically what it is, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
At B Musso 222, I saw 1.8-1 offensive rebounds, to your point, Joe. The refs didn't make plays. The refs don't make plays. A call here and there, okay, but don't get outboarded. He says it was 41-29 and 14-9 on the offensive board. I don't even know if his numbers are right. They lost this because they can't rebound and gave up extra chances. We said it. They were negative 12 on second chance points. Not good. Lost by 10. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to get all of those. But like I said earlier, if you get half of those and half the free throws, you actually kick Georgetown's ass.
Yeah. I mean, they were negative 12 in second chance points and negative 19 in free throws. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those are foul calls and just effort with rebounds.
At Tony Staffieri, not a hot take. He prefaces this with not a hot take. This program doesn't have one player who could play for any Division I team on their schedule. Oof, man, that is a brutal blow. A recruiting issue that may not get any better until there is a change in the staff. Joe.
Mo, he said not one player.
This program doesn't have one post player. Yeah.
One
post player who could play for any Division I. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, well, I mean, look.
It's hard for me to think that Mark wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
You know.
Mark, by the way.
Maybe not start. I'd be on that if it was.
Credit where credit is due, though. Credit where credit is due, though. We've been waiting and wanting Mark to do all the things he does plus score, and he did a pretty good job of that. Yesterday, you know, with 13 points, he got a lot of those really quick and was keeping Syracuse, you know, right there with Georgetown, especially in the beginning of the game when it could have got ugly. And we didn't have a slow start yesterday. It was a game of back and forth for sure. But, you know, the recruiting issue, look, obviously it has to get better. Obviously, part of me likes the fact that we develop our teams and in the idea that we don't have a ton of one and dones, like a lot of schools have to rebuild their team every year. We kind of, you know, but there's no overlap. And it's been a long time since we've seen that where there's just, you know, you got Hughes, who's what, a junior. So you know, he's the most experienced player on the team, and he's playing fantastic, but there's no other overlap there where you got the upperclassmen bringing up, you know, the younger guys. It's just a bunch of younger guys.
Yeah. Well, again, that just that comes from us losing those scholarships. Oh, again, yeah, those type of things, you're not going to initially see it because you already have, you know, your guys set in place, and then you make a, you get a couple transfers and you have just guys that are really good and, you know, fringe NBA type guys, then you can kind of get through it the way that we did. But don't let it fool you. I mean, like I said before, normally that the past 2 years when we've had our full scholarships, that's how Boeheim recruits. He gets four, he goes and gets three, four, or five guys, multiple players from certain, from the same position. And basically it's like, I'm going to take these two guys. And, you know, if I get one to hit and the other guy might transfer or he might just be a good bench player, but if I can get one, you know, so you, when we had those scholarship sanctions, we couldn't miss. And obviously we did. So it's one of those things where we didn't have the opportunity. We didn't have those three extra scholarships to get another center and hope that maybe one of the two hits and becomes a good ACC player. So not because we didn't have that. Now we're in the position we are now where we're a very young team. And now it's just not, it doesn't have to do with recruiting. It has to do with experience at this point. Because like you said, there's not that overlap. You don't have those seniors. I mean, it's going to be another 2 years before somebody basically graduates. So that's kind of where you see. And Elijah Hughes was a transfer.
Right.
For all intents and purposes.
He would have been a senior this year. If he had come with us as a freshman.
Right. But I'm saying for all intents and purposes, the only reason that he was actually transferred and we had that scholarship open was because Malachi Richardson decided to go to the NBA.
Right.
So we had that extra scholarship. And so that's really what it was. So now we're back to getting these full recruiting classes. And like I told you, and I think we talked about, there's going to be some transfers. There's going to be some guys leaving to open up the door for some other guys to come in. And, you know, you got to try to fit in the best guys, and you don't fit in, you got to try to hit with the next year's class. And hopefully you get two a year. And like you said, they overlap, you get a transfer here or there. And that's how you build those teams. And we just haven't been able to do it. And now we're finally seeing the
repercussions.
Yeah.
Joe P on Facebook, top fan, by the way. Congratulations, Joe P. That is a badge you're going to want to keep, buddy. Okay.
No, he loves it. I saw him today.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Keep that badge up there. Okay. Top fan, diamond. Whatever the hell that thing is. Is it a diamond? It's a diamond. They lost the game. They lost the game with that 14-2 run at the end of the first. I think it was a 12-2 run. Who's counting? Yeah. Take that away, and it's back and forth game down the stretch. Too many fouls and zero inside presence for us to get to the line. 30-10. I think it was 31-9, but who's counting? In free throw attempts or something like that. He does preface it with, or he does conclude with something like that. Very close. If you did that in your head, Joe, I'm very impressed. But gotta at least pretend to have someone down low that can score. Also, McClung is a douche. McClung becoming the new Grayson Allen, that's not from me. That's just, I've seen it multiple times on social media. And I don't know if he's as hated as much as Grayson Allen, not in the conference, don't play him, don't have a chance of playing him twice a year, but douchey nonetheless. That is Joe's best point, actually. McClung is a douche.
I don't have a problem with him, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know why.
Whatever.
He just goes out there and plays hard.
He does.
Gym rat, man.
He does. That's true.
I don't see him doing dirty stuff.
I don't think he's anywhere close to Grayson Allen, just to you know, go on record with that.
Right.
But down low.
Obviously, the big men stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, Lance G. Look, Sidibe, not panning out, buddy. I just becoming Stonehands Jr., you know? I mean, it's just not good. It's just not good. I don't know what to say. He's, like, scared. Okay?
I don't know.
What? It's bad. It sucks, man. You know?
It does, because I just don't see... I don't see that part getting, you know.
Better? Yeah, me either. Christian, not a top fan on Facebook, but we're going to read his comment anyways. He says, meh. They be okay. Shooting will be there. Down low is a big problem, but can get better. For me, though, Marek had regressed, if you don't mind me saying so, and that's a big problem. I think did I say Christopher or Christian? His name's Christian. I think that Marek's got better this game, problem is with everybody except for Elijah Hughes and Joe Girard at the free throw line, there's no consistency. Everybody, right. Everybody else is like hit or miss game to game. And, you know, that's a problem. You know, there's just this, you know, there's only two things I can rely on. And one is Joe Girard hitting a free throw. And the other is Hughes, you know, going out and balling and getting this team going early or bringing them back up when they're down.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, again, like I said, the sky is falling, right? But what Boeheim talked about in his press conference was last year we had five losses in the non-conference and we ended up doing okay. And this year, the teams that we played and lost in our non-conference, well, the first 13 games anyway, it's a better schedule. They're better teams. So none of these games are going to be looked at as bad losses. And that's kind of the key that you got to look at.
Yeah.
And we did get a road win against Georgia Tech, ACC opponent. Mm-hmm. And like you've brought up before, we do not have the most difficult ACC schedule. I mean, the ACC schedule is difficult on its own, but
could be worse.
You know, there's a lot of teams that are still trying to figure it out. You know, you still see Virginia still struggling to score. So, you know, North Carolina trying to find their way. I just saw Cole Anthony out indefinitely with a knee injury and, they're having all they can handle from Wofford tonight. So,
yeah, not good. Not good.
It's one of those things where I just don't see a lot of ACC team. I don't see the ACC as strong as usual. And our schedule isn't as difficult as it could be. So, again, we can't look at it as the sky is falling. They just got three games to figure it out, man. And yeah. I just think the key is Guerriere figuring it out.
In a home game against Notre Dame and a home game against Virginia Tech. So you got five home games in a row.
Again, they're not guaranteed wins, but
I'm just saying it helps to not have to.
Right. Well, I mean, you're not coming in with a gauntlet as far as the first couple games. So,
right.
Yeah.
You're eased in. We're eased in. All right. Well, thank you, everybody who participated in fan feedback. Got one more thing for you, and that is the Oakland Golden Gophers. Or wait, Golden Gophers.
That's Minnesota, man.
Yeah, no, Golden Grizzlies. Syracuse, obviously, they can take a bit of a breath as they begin a string of five games in the dome. As I mentioned, three of which are all but gimmies, and nothing's a gimme, but all but, I would say. The first of those against 5-6 Oakland Golden Grizzlies on Wednesday at 8:00. Oakland has not had much success on the road. They're only 1 of 5 in those games. They are led by 6'7", 260-pound senior forward Xavier Hill-Mays. Now, when I say he leads the team, I mean he leads the team. He leads in every category except for assists. He's averaging 15.4 points a game, 7.8 rebounds a game. The only other player averaging double digits in scoring is 6'7", 220-pound senior forward Daniel Oladapo, and he's averaging an even 11 points a game. So, Joe, yep. You got a one-man show out there. Okay, so you got one job, Orange Men. You know, stop Xavier Hill-Mays. That's the key to the game.
That is the key. That is the key. This is a team out of the Horizon League. They can be – I mean, that team can put out some decent teams. So this is a team that's going to have some height. They're going to have – some athleticism, like you said, they have those two forwards that are 6'7", but they start a 6'11" senior as well. So they got two, and then they have a 6'4" and a 6'3" guard starting. So again, they got size, but they don't go that deep. And like you said, I mean, Hill-Mays. It's funny you said that because I was looking at it. Hill-Mays, he's got 41 more shots than anybody else on the team. So they literally he's put up 130 shots. The next person's 89. So that's definitely the guy. And again, this is a game that does worry me a little bit, and only because of like what we talked about, the size. Now I don't think that senior center is that you know, offensively good, but they do have those other forwards. They are going to be banging us, you know, as far as banging on the rim and as far as the boards and stuff. And it's not going to be an easy, and we're going to have to box out. They're they know what the deal is. They're going to be able to look and see that we have problems getting out rebounded, and that's going to be most likely that's going to be their game. Now we can hope that we can get them into turnovers and maybe squeeze it together. Because looking at the way that their season has gone, they do have a freshman guard that comes off the bench and shoots a three pointer somewhere around 39-40%. But that's the guy that basically comes in, and that's their bench and their starters. And they only have one other guy that's made double digit three pointers on the season. So they got a guy that's made 13 and a guy that's made 19. And the guy that's made 19, he's that Blake Lamplin is his name. So Lampman, yeah. So
whatever.
This is a team. I don't think this is a team that is. Again, I think anybody, if we leave them open, is capable of making a three pointer. But I don't think that this is a team minus this Lampman guy that we have to worry about as far as beating us from the 3-point line. So
don't get overconfident either. I mean, that's another problem you could have. But
Again, I think looking at their size and looking at their 3-point shooting and everything, I would pretty much probably go ahead and expect them to try to get the ball down low. So I can see a situation where we're probably going to try to pack it in, force them to actually try to shoot threes, because that's not their game.
Right.
So if we can make it difficult to get it down there, then I can see us trying to force them to shoot the three and rely on the three. And, hopefully they just don't get offensive rebounds.
Just pad the zone, basically.
Yeah.
So
that's what I would look for. I mean, obviously I think with Lampman, the other guy that's made 13 threes, he's made 13 out of 45. So his percentage is somewhere around, 28%, 29%. So he's under 30%. Obviously he can probably, everyone's got their games where they can go off, but this other guy, Lampman, like I said, he's close to 40. So that's the guy that you worry about when he's on the court. Other than that, anyone else probably going to let them shoot, and they're probably going to stop them from just trying to get in the zone, get us in foul trouble, keep them off the boards, keep them off the line. Like, that's the stuff. This team could probably they're probably going to try to make it ugly and try to win that way, and we got to try not to. So if our zone can stay active, hopefully just get those steals and not allow them to get the ball down low and even in those positions. So
you got three games to figure it out, Syracuse. Let's do it. I mean, not that – look.
Yeah. And this team's ranked on KenPom 172, pretty much like right smack dab in the middle of like Division I college basketball. So, he's got us, I think, at like 57, something. We're in the 50s. So, obviously we're a far superior team. It's just when the size and the will and getting rebounds and second chance points and all that stuff, free throws, just easy, just giving them free points when that comes into play. And if they can physically push you around, it doesn't matter what numbers next year, to your name,
yeah,
or the school that's on your jersey for that matter.
Yeah. Any given team, any given day. So, all right. Well, look, that's going to wrap it up for us this evening. I want to thank all of you for listening, and I want to thank obviously my bookie in Blue Chew. Go there. Blue Chew. Use the promo code armchair, get free shipping, just pay or get free something. Free shipment, just pay the $5 shipping. In my book, yeah, I got it. I had to go back to my notes. And with Armchair, obviously, you all know that. Use the promo code CHAIR, match you dollar for dollar. We thank both of them. Again, we thank all of you. Thanks to everybody who participated in fan feedback. That is going to do it for us. We will see you Thursday. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.